I'll be reading from Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. I'm just progressing on to that next section in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17. Listen as I read God's word. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The title of my sermon is Stop Acting Like an Old Man. Just so you know, I want to make apologies to Lewis and to Bob and to Larry this morning. I'm not making any comments about my elders today. I'm making comment about the former way of life. But I've stated it in a provocative way. I imagine that some of you think I'm an old man too, so you can put it back on me too. You've probably heard someone say, stop acting like a baby. That's what made me think of this phrase, stop acting like an old man. And by old man, I have in mind not age, but the former way of life. The life of an unbeliever. So you should understand the main idea of this passage to be this. You are no longer an unbeliever, so stop acting like one. Stop acting like an old man. By way of introduction, let me just place this in Paul's letter, and you'll see where this fits. You might remember that in chapters 1 through 3, Paul emphasized God's plan of salvation. He talks about the Trinity and that eternal plan and purpose of God, and then how he applies it to us in Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit. He speaks of grace and of faith and of deliverance and of redemption. And then, starting in chapter 4, Paul takes those truths and shows how they shape the Christian life. We now become followers of Jesus. This passage, beginning in verse 17, calls you to walk in newness of life. A newness of life that Jesus has purchased for you. In this passage, you'll notice that Paul uses several different imperatives. An imperative is a command or a direction or a pastoral urging. Paul uses many of those in this passage. They flow out of chapters 1 through 3, and they carry the force of resting on Christ's work for you. We recognize then that Jesus laid down his life, he purchased salvation for you, so that you would then walk in that newness of life. You might even think of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and how they describe that newness of life. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the work of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's that verse 10 of chapter 2 that Paul is now elaborating on. You are called by Christ to walk in a newness of life. That's what Paul says at the beginning of chapter 4. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And so in verse 17, do not walk in the manner of the Gentiles. Or in verse 22, put off the old man. This all suggests a helpful outline for the sermon today. It begins by examining what you once were, then looks at what you are now, and finally how you should act. Now follow that outline today in thinking of stop acting like an old man. So what were you once? Thinking of the past, you once were an old man. That's kind of funny to think of, isn't it? That you were once all an old man. Now, the children of the congregation, you can talk to your parents around supper tonight, and you can ask about being an old man from your dad. And you can discuss with them what it is to have been an old man, but then to be converted. And ask them about their former life, because that's what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about the former life. The life of an unbeliever. He says, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Most of the Ephesian church would have actually been racially Gentiles, meaning that they weren't Jews. And they didn't stop being Gentiles, technically, when they converted, but they renounced their former way of life. They renounced walking in unbelief and all that went with that. We'll come to that in a little bit. But before meditating on what we become in Christ, Paul reminds the church that they were once unbelievers. His description is not for the faint of heart. He speaks in a sense of all of the gory details of the former living of unbelievers. Unbelievers' lives, say Paul, are characterized by a futility of mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. These words locate sin internally. It locates sin in man's heart. And this is very important. Paul is going to go on in the next verses to talk about the working out of that sin in the external actions that take place. And most people, quite honestly, focus on those externals. They look at sin and they say, what you do bad things. But immoral behavior, Paul says here, comes from inside mankind. It flows out of the heart. And it's a heart and a mind that's been darkened by sin. In fact, it's blind to the light of Christ. It's a very sobering description of unbelief. There's another sobering side to Paul's description that lies in the futility of the mind. You may have read recently some of the critiques of the new atheists, the critiques that they have of Christian faith. You'll find that they often speak of Christianity as being anti-intellectual, or being against common sense and knowledge. But the fact of the matter is that it's the unbeliever that's walking in ignorance. And it's the unbeliever that is acting against knowledge. In Romans 1, Paul elaborates on this point by saying that unbelievers suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness. Do you know what suppress means? when your older brother wrestles you to the ground and he pins you down and pins your arms down, that's suppression. That's what the unbeliever does with the truth of the existence of God, and not just the existence of God, but Paul says that the light of nature is enough to prove that not only does God exist, but you can tell the invisible attributes of God. Attributes like power, knowledge, justice, and love. That means that every human being deep down knows that God exists and knows these truths from the light of nature. But they suppress that truth, unwilling to acknowledge it or to consider it. They go against what they know deep down in order to throw off God and to promote themselves and their own desires. I think if you would read the New Atheists honestly, you would find that type of suppression. They speak of their being scientists and of considering all different hypotheses and testing them. But there is no room for God in their consideration. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Where does this lead? Paul goes on in verse 19 to describe where it leads. Having described unbelievers who are darkened in their understanding, he says, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The hardness of heart gives birth to lewdness. The futility of mind gives birth and leads to more and more unrighteousness. In fact, the unbeliever grows callous to their own wickedness. Their conscience has been burned over and scarred so that they no longer feel the pain of doing wrong. They no longer recognize that. And so, being past feeling, they go to more and more wickedness. They greedily give themselves over to all kinds and all manners of sin. If you are not trusting in Christ, this is where you are right now. You may not recognize yourself, but I urge you to take a long, hard, honest look at your way of life. I would suggest that you know deep down that something is wrong. You know that your behavior is bad. I would urge you to beware in this case, because the next step is to begin the process of explaining away your behavior as not being bad. Explaining it away as being natural or a disease or something that can just has been characterized by Christians as being bad. The next step then leads you into more and more practice of that sin. In fact, you won't be able to get enough. It will consume you. I pray that you will listen to that warning of the way of ungodliness and then listen to the rest of this message to hear the escape that Jesus gives. Let's go back to Paul's words, because Paul is describing this condition less as a warning and more as a way to remind you what you once were. He's speaking to you as those believing in Jesus Christ. You were an old man. All of you walked in unbelief. But in God's goodness, He has brought you to repentance and faith. That leads us to think about what you are now. You're a new man, a new woman in Jesus Christ. Paul says it this way, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." Paul started this section in chapter 1 saying, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." And then he said that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. The means of those phrases in verses 20 and 21 become plain in the light of the newness of life in Christ. Learning Christ, hearing Christ, being taught in Christ all have something to do with your conversion. For the Ephesians, these words would probably even remind them of their own conversion. It would remind them of the history of Paul coming to Ephesus and how he taught them about Jesus Christ. He came on the heels of others that went before him. Some that came and told about the coming of the Promised One. You might remember that in Ephesus that they had heard about John the Baptist and the message that he brought. John the Baptist said, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And they were baptized into John the Baptist. When Paul came, he completed the story. He told them that what John the Baptist was proclaiming was Jesus Christ. Jesus had come. The Son of God had stooped to save sinners. He had laid down his life on the cross. He was raised to life everlasting. And you may have life in him. And the Ephesians came to believe that message that Paul preached. They trusted in Jesus. And they were baptized in that Christian baptism into the name of Jesus. They were new creations in Jesus Christ. Paul has dealt with this thoroughly in chapter 2, so I won't go over it again, except to read those verses in chapter 2 that make the striking difference between the old man and the new man. Listen to chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Having spoken of what we once were, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You once were old men. You are now made new in Jesus Christ. Stop acting like an old man. Stop acting like an unbeliever. I mentioned the Ephesians and how when they received this letter from Paul, these words must have reminded them of their own conversion. I told that again. I told of how they came to trust in Jesus Christ. But that's not all about the Ephesians. You can go on and read in the book of Acts about how the church in Ephesus then took steps to put away all of the practices that characterized their old life. They came together and they gave up their idols to be destroyed. There were many that had followed the goddess Diana and had prayed and worshipped her and had idols in their home. They brought those together and they gave them up, even though they were made of precious metals. They were new creations in Christ. There are many who are given over to the practice of sorcery and magic, and they brought their books to be burned. They were never going back to that former way of life. You see, they understood that Christ had claimed them for a purpose. He had claimed them so that they would walk in that newness of life, and they were determined to do that. They had been children of wrath, walking in the futility of their minds and so on. But they had learned Christ. They had heard Him. They had been taught by Him. They had become believers and followers of Christ. And so they put off their former way of living to walk in a newness of life. And so too, God calls you in the same way, to put off those former ways of unbelief that you once walked in, and to walk in a newness of life. Think about it this way. Imagine that you found an abandoned kitten outside in the pouring rain. I know some of you would leave it out there, but many of you would take that kitten in, make it a puppy if you want to. You would take that kitten in, you would make it warm, you would give it something to eat, you would dry its fur, you would give it a warm pillow to sleep on, you would show love to that poor, abandoned kitten. But then, the next morning you get up and you can't find that kitten anywhere. Where is it? Well, lo and behold, you find it back outside, in the rain, meowing, poor and hungry and abandoned yet again. How silly it would be for that kitten to do that, right? But don't we treat Jesus just the same way? God rescued you from the penalty of sin. He delivered you from hell itself. And not only that, but He delivered you from the power of sin. The power that gripped your life so that you walked around greedily following your own desires and your own passions. You even thought that there was no escape from them. Pattern sins, habitual sins that had become so ingrained in you that you thought that there was no way to be free from them. And yet Christ has set you free. But all too often, we run straight back to our old ways. We indulge our old sins, getting drenched and sick and hungry. It was not for this purpose that you became a Christian. It was not for the purpose of remaining in your sins that Christ called you to Himself. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that you should walk in them. Paul puts it this way in verse 22. He says that you should put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This is the truth that Jesus taught. This is why Jesus laid down His life. He calls sinners to believe in Him as their Savior, and not just for the forgiveness of sins, but to repent of their sins. Repentance means a complete change of direction in regards to your sins. You once walked in former ways of unbelief. As an old man, you sought it out and you greedily got worse and worse in sin. Repentance means that you turn away from that sin. It means that now you look on that former way of life in revulsion. You hate those sins. Instead of greedily indulging those sins, you purposefully turn away from them in revulsion. And as you turn, in addition to turning away from that sin, you learn to walk as a new man or a new woman in Christ. Verse 23 says, "Do not walk as an old man. Put that off and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Paul speaks of this transformation in general terms here. When you become a follower of Christ, he renews you in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. He will come in the verses that follow to get more specific. What does that look like? But here, Paul is emphasizing that general transformation that's taking place. When Jesus calls you to himself, he sets you free from that old nature, and he renews in you something that was lost. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. For those of you familiar with the Catechism, you might recognize those terms. How did God create mankind? God created mankind after his own image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Those three things are aspects of God's own image in mankind. That's the way God made Adam and Eve. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked in perfect obedience to God. They walked in perfect knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. But as you well know, sin entered the world and defaced that image of God in mankind. Now, our best righteous deeds are polluted and can only be seen as filthy rags. In unbelief, no one can stand in the holiness of God because we are unclean in sin. And our knowledge has become darkened. We are blinded even to our own desperate circumstance and the holiness of God that is plain around us. Mankind is fallen and is broken beyond all repair. But that's why Christ came. In Christ, you are a new creation. You are a new man or a new woman in Christ. You are a new person positionally. You have crossed over from death to life. You have a new identity as a child of God. You are no longer a child of wrath. He has also set you free to act like the new creation that you are. As I mentioned, Paul will go on in the next verses to get more specific about what this looks like. What are the sins that you put off? What's the righteousness that you put on? But for today, what I want you to recognize especially is to feel the force of what Jesus has done for you. As Paul says, it's appropriate to remember your former life. Think of the despair that you once walked in. Think of how you were beyond repair. And remember what Christ has done. That God, who is rich in mercy, has saved you through faith in Jesus Christ. And he has delivered you from the power of sin. He has saved you for that purpose of walking in the newness of life. Because of that, recognize what you once were, an unbeliever. Recognize the characteristics of that. Recognize what you are now, You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so stop acting like an unbeliever. You are a new creation in Christ. Stop acting like an old man. Please bow with me in prayer. Father, forgive us for trampling Christ underfoot when we are callous about that new creation that we are and go back to our sins. Lord, we recognize the truth of what you say here. In Christ, we are new creatures. We belong to you and that you have saved us for a purpose. In Christ, we have the blessing of heaven awaiting us and the blessing of heaven given to us now. We are even now inheritors of that great gift. Well, Lord God, I pray that we would not squander that we would not act unthinking, or God forbid, that we would willingly go further and further into sin. Instead, O Lord, I pray that you would not take your Spirit away from us. O God, I pray that your Spirit would prick our conscience. God, do more than prick our conscience. Grab us and convict us of our sin. For Lord, we are ashamed of that disgrace. We pray, O Lord, that instead that we would walk in a newness of life, that we would put off that old man with all of the deeds and all of the attitudes that go along with it. Instead, O Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. These things that you have given to us, renew in us that Spirit of God, that image of God in us, that we might be pleasing and honoring sacrifices in your sight. And Lord, as we sin, we pray that you would forgive us. For Lord, we know we sin daily. And we pray that you would forgive us and renew us in our desire to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our psalters and respond to this word by singing Psalm 86, Selection B. You'll find that this selection speaks of how we respond to the saving mercy of God in Christ. We promise and pledge in this psalm that we would follow after Him. We ask God that He would teach us His way so that we would walk in that truth. If that's your response to the message today, sing this with all your heart, that God would teach you His way, that you would walk in His truth.